In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the last sermon in this series for the summer, seven sermons that begin with the title, Jesus, Help Me. We began the first sermon with Jesus, Help Me Listen. And we really now are kind of coming full circle to Jesus, Help Me Teach. God sent His Son into the world, bringing His truth and His love. We've heard it, we've listened to it, it's changed our lives. And God not only wants our lives to be changed, but everyone else's also. And so He continues to speak that word through us, whom He has called to be part of His kingdom. The prayer that I'd like to use as our text is from Psalm 51. This is from King David's great prayer of repentance. A prayer of repentance and a prayer of renewal and recommitment. David prays in verse 13, "Let me teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." In our gospel lesson, Jesus in Luke chapter 13 gives us a sense of urgency when it comes to sharing the word of Christ for the salvation of others. Someone asked Jesus, "Will few be saved?" Jesus answered that by saying that all who are saved must pass through a narrow door. Whenever you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's always best to keep in mind the entire gospel, and especially the cross and the resurrection, because that's always what Jesus is thinking about when He speaks to people. And when He tells us we need to pass through the narrow door, what He's talking about is we need to pass through that only way of salvation, which is the way of repentance and the way of forgiveness through His life, His death, and His resurrection. "For a day will come," Jesus says, "when good and evil will be divided." Right now, a lot of these things are mixed together. But the day will come when those two are divided. And the problem is that many people have the wrong understanding of what good means. And they automatically assume their right relationship with God, even though they haven't passed through the narrow door of repentance and forgiveness and faith and new life of faith in Christ. That narrow door is what we've heard about and what we've been baptized into. And as Jesus brings us through that narrow door by hearing, we also share the word of faith to others as well. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." And then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in this last thing that I think God really calls all of us to do, to teach others what we have been taught ourselves for our salvation, we'll all have to admit, and I'll be the first to admit, there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of weakness when it comes to this. When it comes to this task of telling others about Jesus, we need to pray, "Jesus, help me teach." When I was in junior high, well, ever since I was a little boy, in fact, I've loved airplanes. And in junior high in particular, I spent a lot of time building pretty large model airplanes. In fact, my bedroom consisted of nothing more than a bed and a very large table that extended across the entire wall, a table that I had built, and upon which you would find at any time all sorts of wings and other plane parts that were in the middle of some construction project. On one particular plane, I remember well, I'd worked on for months and finally had gotten it all ready to fly. With the help of an instructor, we fired up the engine, and I was ready to launch it when he looked at me and he said, "Mike, are you nervous?" I said, "Yes, I was literally shaking." And he said, "Good, because that means you'll listen to me and you'll do everything I tell you and it'll all be okay." Having weakness and having fear is nothing new. All Christians have that when it comes to teaching others about Jesus. Take, for example, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. He was a priest. He was serving in the temple. And when he was going about his worship duties, the Lord appeared before him with seraphim angels. And the Lord called him to be a teacher to Israel, a prophet to Israel. Isaiah's immediate response was fear, weakness, trembling. He says, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." God was not surprised by that response of Isaiah. In fact, I think he actually expected it. We should all really expect it from each other. This is not a natural and normal thing for us to do. This has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And to help Isaiah with that, God dispatched an angel who took a burning coal from the altar, touched it to his lips, and said, "This has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin has been atoned for." All of us will have fear when it comes to talking about Jesus. What matters is what we do with that fear. Will we let it shut us down, or will we let it drive us to the Lord in prayer? I told you there were other prayers like David's prayer. "Let me teach transgressors your ways." So listen to Peter's prayer, almost exactly the same as David's. In the book of Acts chapter 4, he said to the Lord, "Look upon their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that we may speak, your word." Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, asked them to pray for him. "Pray also for me," he said, "that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel." I have never done anything in the way of serving the Lord in some teaching capacity without fear and trembling. I never step up to this pulpit without whispering many prayers before I begin. Whenever I stand on a doorstep ringing a doorbell or knocking on the door in hopes that I can talk to somebody about their faith, I'm always saying this prayer, "Jesus, help me listen. Jesus, help me talk." Or as I'm walking through the hallways of a hospital looking for the room number of someone who is very sick, I'm often praying, "Jesus, help me to say what you want them to hear." We pray in our times of difficulty like this. This is exactly what Jesus wants us to do. "Jesus, help me to teach." We know he wants us to do this, but he alone is the one that can make that very spiritual work a reality in our lives as well. You may be a father wanting to begin a family meal with a prayer, and you just don't know how to get that started. Before you open a word to your family, open your mouth and say a word to your family, begin by saying to God, "Help me, Jesus. Help me teach my family. Help me lead them in your ways." If you find yourself in some tension with your spouse or with your children or parents or friends, it's easy at times to just ignore it, hope the problem will go away by itself. Or deep down, you also probably know there's some ice here that needs to be broken. But how can you get that done? It begins by saying, "Jesus, help me to do this." We admit our weakness. We also pray and ask Jesus for help. And thirdly, we remember that in the end, it's not so much about how we say things for Jesus, but that we simply let Jesus always, always be the message. When you want to talk to people about Jesus, the best thing you can always do is let Jesus speak for himself as much as you are able, as much as you can remember, as much as you can memorize some of those words of the Lord. Because people oftentimes take offense at us personally. They think we're hypocrites. They think we have some personal agenda. They can pick us apart completely. But real need is to consider Jesus. And so our real job is to present Jesus at every possible opportunity. When I was in high school, I was at a friend's house, and we were working on some carpentry project. And I was sawing away with a handsaw, having great difficulty. That darn saw was wobbling and pinching and getting stuck in the cut. When finally, my friend, his brother, and his father all chimed in unison, "Mike, let the saw do the work." I never forgot that. And I know that each one of them had been told that as well at some point in their lives as well. Let the saw do the work. Don't try to force it. Don't try to jam it through. But let that saw do what it was designed to do. Work with it gently. Let it do the work. And so it often is with God's Word. It's God's Word that the people need to hear. It's God's Word that we have the privilege of sharing. And so sometimes it's simply saying, not so much what I think or what I believe, but this is what Jesus says. You need to consider that, just as I've been considering it myself. So we recognize our weakness. We ask Jesus to help us. We let Jesus be the message. And one other thing about finding help from God when it comes to teaching others is this: to remember that everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did for us, He did in love. If we're going to do something like that on His behalf, then we also need to do it in love. So when you think about a person that you want to speak to, probably one of the most important things to say, in fact, when you say, "Jesus, help me teach," you're almost also saying, "Jesus, help me love this person. Just as you love me, just as you love them." In my office on the wall, I have a plaque, and there are copies of 2 pages from the personal Bible of Johann Sebastian Bach. One is the title page, and at the very bottom in the corner, there's Bach's hand signature. On the other page, it's a page from the Book of Chronicles, and Bach has written some notes about music in the margin there. Bach is well known as one of the greatest musicians of all time. I don't have to say anything more about that. His record speaks enough for itself. But what may not be as familiar to many people are the hardships that he endured in his life. He was orphaned at the age of 10. He also buried his first wife and 10 of his children. Any one of those tragedies could have crushed us easily. How did he persevere through that kind of life? He did so because he had a great love for God, a great love for God's Word, and he was also a man of intense prayer. In fact, at the very top of almost all of his musical compositions, he wrote the letters J, which stood for the Latin words Jesu Iuva, which means Jesus, help me. When we find ourselves dealing with all of the difficulties that life throws at us, sin, death, and the devil, everything that wants to prevent us from listening to God's Word, from repenting, from believing, from giving thanks, from understanding, from obeying, and yes, finally, from teaching, when we're faced with all the things that oppose that and oppress that and suppress those things, we need to know that God pushes through. And God will push through with us as well. We can be like Jonah, who found himself in the belly of a great fish at the bottom of the sea. And in his desperation, he prayed, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." In these hard times, we have this great privilege and this great blessing to pray and ask. And last of all, what I've said in every one of these sermons, what God seeks from us, what God expects from us, He gives to us. It's only for us to ask, to seek, to knock, to let the door be opened for us. Jesus, help me. Amen. Please rise. Gracious Lord, bless our Christian lives. Thank you for all that you have done to bring us to Jesus, to bring us here tonight in this place of your word and prayer. We pray that you would also lead us on in life as we leave here tonight, go to our families and our work and all our other activities. And in all those things, we continually seek your help. Jesus, help us live the life you've called us to. Amen.